views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to the Conscious Business Radio Network on Transformation Talk Radio. Marketing today is harder than ever. If you are a marketing manager or a business owner, you know this. We are just bombarded with messages everywhere. And due to this constant noise, messages are just not penetrating like they used to in the past. Customers are just not biting on traditional advertising methods, and everybody's scrambling. How do we reach these consumers? How do we sell our products? Because after all, if you are not selling products, you're not going to stay in business and you can't make any money. So we have a company today that's coming on, Venture Fuel, and they are forging new ground with businesses. I mean, they virtually work with the who's who of Fortune 500 companies, and they are using ingenious and creative ideas to come up with solutions that use tech startups and really uncommon sources to make a huge impact. And they're going to share some of their insights with us and how they do this. They are pretty remarkable. They have won many awards, the Reggie Award, the Effie Award, and they have just recently been named number one in the industry by digital agencies and strategic planners. So they are someone to listen to. So we are going to have them on real soon. But before we have them on, we are going to have the CEO of Mobi, Gino Tennis, and he is going to be talking about chronic pain. I don't know if people are aware of this, but chronic pain affects over 100 million Americans a year, and that's more than diabetes and cancer and heart disease combined. So this is affecting a lot of people, and it's really impacting the cost of our healthcare, not to mention the trauma it's causing to people. Basically, chronic pain is defined as anything that lasts for 6 months. It can be excruciating, it can be continuous, it can be come and go, it can merely be inconvenient or totally incapacitating. And basically, your nervous system has the signals of pain that just won't go away. And it can take a toll on you physically and mentally, and it can cause all sorts of issues like anxiety, stress, depression, anger, because you can't get rid of it, and fatigue. I mean, all sorts of stuff. And our current healthcare system is treating it with pills. I mean, we're pretty much giving people opiates to deal with this. And many people are taking 5, 6, even more types of different medications. And it's causing all sorts of side effects like insomnia and constipation and diarrhea and all sorts of awful stuff. And to make matters worse, people are becoming addicted to this. And when you're addicted to it, you need more and more of drugs to get that same level of blockage of the pain. And it's just this downward spiral down. And we are, like I said, we're going to be joined by Gino Tennis, and he is the CEO and founder of Mobi. And they are on a mission to change the culture of this country and to help people deal with this without drugs or minimize the use of drugs and getting to the core of the problem. And he's going to explain this and how he's making huge impacts and changing people's lives. Not only saving people from this awful situation, but they're also saving companies millions of dollars in healthcare expenses. And he's going to share that with you. And he's recently given talks to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. And he's also presented in front of the healthcare teams of President George W. Bush and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's held many executive roles, including Senior Vice President of United Healthcare and Chief Strategy Officer for Med Solutions. And his team has made up a lot of senior executives at different healthcare companies, and very impressive group of people that just said, you know what, we need to change this culture because we need to help people deal with this. So we are now going to invite Gino Tennis to the program.
Hi, Gino. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you.
Okay, you have a really important foundational, I think, healthcare method or change that you're doing to the healthcare industry with the mission of your company. What is it?
Well, the mission of our company, fundamentally what we're trying to do is change the culture of health in America. So today, I think we have, our company is founded on the belief that there's an we forgot the basic principles that have made us human. The fact that our bodies are naturally self-healing and that medicine is meant to be a supplement to the body's natural healing process, not a replacement. And that people have sort of gotten used to having the healthcare system do things to them rather than be active drivers of their own health. And for important segments of the population, we help them to take control back.
Well, yeah, because people go to the doctor's office and they just kind of expect to get fixed like a car, like you're going to an auto mechanic.
Right. And we're these beautiful, amazing, awesome self-healing machines. But we don't understand, even though science, and especially science in America, has made so much great progress, but we don't understand all that the body does and all that causes pain sometimes. And for a period of time, and especially in America, our goal was to eliminate all pain. You look at things like the opiate crisis in America today, the body reacts. Opiates do a very good job of knocking out all pain. And your body isn't designed to do that. It reacts and it upregulates itself and it creaks new pain to make up for the pain.
It freaks out to try to figure out how to make sure you have pain.
Right, absolutely, because that's a signal. We don't always know what those signals are, but they're important signals, and so we listen to be attuned to that.
So what do you do and what kind of results are you having with people?
Well, we really help people to understand those fundamentals. We start with four basic principles that we teach our team. We already mentioned some of them, that you're made up of 50 trillion cells in your body, and those 50 trillion cells are used to survival, and they will work together in awesome ways to heal itself, and that medicine, when used in the right way, helps to supplement that. Medicine, I use medicine as a broad term, our healthcare system. You know, if you put a cast on your arm, it's not the cast that heals you, it's your body doing these amazing things, and you're just putting it in the right condition. And that the mind and body, like the opiate example, works in these very real ways. And sometimes when I say that, people think of sort of Eastern medicine, and it's not that. It's understanding, it's like the first time you go on a date and your stomach gets these butterflies, it's your mind and body working together to get you attuned to life. So that's third, that mind and body work together in wonderful ways. And fourth, that you can be an active director in your own health, not a passive observer. And once we teach people those, and there is a certain population that we work with, that population that lives in, for lack of a better term, chronic pain. The Institutes of Medicine says there's 100 million people who suffer from
chronic pain. 100 million in the United States?
100 million in the U.S. That's more than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes combined. More than that, we spend somewhere, again, according to them, over $700 billion a year on pain symptoms. And we have a specific subset of people. So not all pain is the same. Not everybody suffers from pain. And so we work with a particular group of people who suffer, who are trying to find through the healthcare system a answer to why they have pain and a single test that will tell them that and a single procedure or drug that will eliminate it. And so they're on this path, this search for finding that diagnosis that they haven't found yet or a solution.
And a lot of times they don't find it, right? And so that's the problem.
Right. Right. Well, and the thing about this magnificent thing called a human is that we don't know everything. We know a whole lot, and every day we learn more and more and more, but we can't always find everything. And so in the path of searching, what we want to help this group with is take a time out. say, okay, even while I'm on this path, what can I do to help myself? How can I help the body to do as much as it can while maybe I look for something else? And so we say, okay, you may be this awesome, complex machine, but what you need to do to help it is not complex. Eat, sleep, move, smile. If you do those four things every day, you're going to begin to improve. So eat the right things. We all love food. I love food. But it's also important for your body's function is eating the right food.
So hard.
Unpackaged foods. It is hard. But it isn't about changing everything. It's making small steps, right? It's like my son says, I have a quote up on my board, every day is not a cheat day. So you have to be conscious of it. And if you're conscious of it, you can make the small steps that a lot of small steps, like the water dripping into your bathtub, right? A little bit of water constantly running makes massive change. Little changes in your eating habits will make massive change. Well, same thing with sleep, right? Your body can't heal itself if it doesn't get restorative sleep. A lot of people, you know, they're anxious about their health, and then there's a bunch of medicines, and the medicines don't help them sleep at night, and so they stay up all night, and their body never restores itself. It never heals. Same thing with movement. We don't have to run marathons to, you know, as you and I were talking about, Sarah, before this, I walk all day in my office. I'm pacing now.
Because it's so hard after work. You're so exhausted that the last thing, I just want to sit and watch TV and eat, right? That's where the eat and sitting comes around.
Right. Well, and one of my sisters, and we help a sister. I was sitting talking with her, and she got hurt at work and has a lot of, and that has led to sort of chronic pain. And we're sitting talking about this, and then she stood up and she said, you know, all that sounds good, Gino, but my knees hurt. And I said, Sandy, I'm in great shape. I didn't get hurt like you did. I've been sitting with you talking. I stood up and my knees hurt. Let's go for a 5-minute walk and see if that can begin to get the body to do what it does naturally. And then the last piece, which is so important for everybody, is smile. You know, and smile to us covers a whole bunch of topics, whether it's taking an optimistic attitude. That's what that means. But it's also letting go of the things that you can't control, letting go of the past, becoming an active member of your church or your employer or your family. People who suffer from chronic pain are on this search. They feel like they're a burden to their family and friends. Letting that go, being happy, all of that.
When the smiling gets rid of the stress a little bit, right?
It does. It does. So again, this isn't. It isn't. You know,
it's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not, and it's not. Is real. We typically get people engaged by sending them letters and then calling them and say, hey, this program is free through your health plan. We'd like to help. And she said, you know, I've been waiting for you to call. And
it's
I
almost
started
like
crying
they feel
when
like,
I read your letter.
Yeah, it feels like somebody's reaching out to help them.
Right.
So now
they feel alone.
Now you have professional people that work with these people to help them take that back, right?
Right. We have guides, what we call guides. These are people who've been in the clinical system. There are doctors and chiropractors and naturopaths and nurses and social workers and pharmacists, all wide range of professional training, who've been in sort of the clinical system. And for a small subset of people, 4 or 5% of the population, where the medical system alone is not helping them get well, those are the people we think are suffering. And so have begun to teach this sort of belief system and lifestyle that really when people embrace this approach, take back what they can and use the healthcare system where it can be helpful, they've seen that in their own lives, these professionals, these guides, help people change. And through that process, that's where our company sort of evolves from.
And this helps
those people have done.
Well, and this helps companies save money, doesn't it? And in the long run, I mean, it really, once you get off those drugs and you're healthier and when you get to the foundation problem, it really saves a lot of money and it helps everybody be happier and healthier.
Right, absolutely. I spent my entire career in the health insurance business. There's a lot of places where there's opportunity to reduce costs. I have 5 children. They can't afford the system we're leaving behind. So a big part of the other side of the culture of health is not only the things that we do that aren't helpful, but also the cost of those. So, you know, having a bunch of tests to sort of find something that may or may not be there, switching doctors, trying different procedures, trying different medications, often of which the people we work with, for example, are on 6 to 8 drugs each on average.
Oh,
and then there's side effects like a constipation, diarrhea, and fainting, and acid reflux. And we look at the side effect profiles of these drugs, and you know, nobody in our, I'm not a doctor, so this isn't professional advice. Nobody needs to be on 6 to 8 drugs. So let's look at what that does. And we have professionals who help consumers understand that. At the end of the day, it's a consumer and their doctors, work together. That's important. We just provide information. What we want people to do, again, the only person who goes home from the doctor's office with you is you, right? It's not the doctor.
Well, you kind of have to see them as a consultant. I mean, because they're not going to do the work. You are.
At the end, the consumer has to, right? In order for them to live their best normal, each person understands what their best normal can be. For many, you live with pain. So our person who designed this program along with me, Tino, so it's the Tino and Gino
show. Oh, that's
show,
good.
I
know that. That's good.
Well, he suffers from low back pain. And we know when he has it because he stands up and stretches and he looks like he's in pain, but he understands that that's part of his life's journey is having that pain. And that surgery, while that may work for some people, isn't going to work for him. And so he's made a conscious decision about how to manage it. And that's what we want people to do is make the right choices for them. Or give them the tools. We don't judge what the right treatment is for anybody. The only person that can make the right decision for you is you. And that's what we really try to do is redirect from the health plan or a doctor or family and friends. It's you. How do we help guide you? And that's why we use the word guide. The only one that knows a guide is somebody who helps you along your own path, right? And we give you the tools and training and support to go on the right path for you.
And most corporate health plans have this incorporated into their plans, right? So if somebody has an addiction to pain medications and they're taking 6 to 8 drugs or whatever, this service is usually included in most health plans, correct?
Well, no, we have to, employers and health plans can choose to have this as part. You know, first of all, I should take a step back. Every health plan should, our goal is to sort of, going back to changing the culture of health, is reintroduce this concept for a group of people where it really, really matters. And whether it's with working through Mobi or working with anybody else, those same basic principles, this basic principles and the basic lifestyle support choices that you make, we think are good for anybody and everybody.
Well, so if it's not incorporated into your health plan and it's something that your company really wants because it's clearly important and it'll save you money in the long run and make everybody happier, healthier, less problems with people not missing work, on and on, how can they get that incorporated into a health plan? I mean, if they go ahead.
The easiest way, if you go to our website, Mobi for Life, so it's MobiForLife, Mobi for Life. There's a little contact form in there and you can contact us and we'd be happy to talk through how you can, if you're an employer that wants to offer this to your employees, it's no cost, it's incorporated in, we already pay enough in healthcare today.
Important
part of our culture. We don't need new costs. So we work within the structure that is available to health plans and employers and really commit to not introducing any new costs. In fact, reduce costs.
Well, can I put this on the radio page so people can know how to get hold of you and go from there?
For sure.
That's
awesome. Of course,
awesome.
We always like to help.
Well, you know, it's a good service for people. I really appreciate you joining our program today, Gino, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Sarah. You too.
If you want to learn more about Mobi, you can go to sarahwestall.com and learn more about their company. And also they have a blog where you can get all sorts of interesting facts and information and also learn how to incorporate it into your company's health plans and start helping. I'm sure you have a lot of employees with this problem if there's over 100 million people with this issue. And you can help not only really help your employees, but also save a lot of money on healthcare costs. But now, as I promised, we are going to have the founder of Venture Fuel come and talk to us. And he is going to talk about their amazing ideas and things they do in the marketing industry. And as I said before, their team was named number one in the industry by digital agencies and strategic planners. They have won numerous awards and work with the who's who of Fortune 500 companies. Very impressive resume. And we have lots to learn from these guys. So let's welcome Fred Schoenberg to the program.
Hi, Fred. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I am so glad that you came on. You have this really unique way of marketing, and you've really taken hold of the challenges that the current environment has and have really used it to your benefit with your clients. And I want you to talk to us about that. First of all, I have this question. I'll start with this. Marketing and reaching customers has become very challenging. Why is it so challenging right now, and what are you doing to help clients overcome this challenging environment?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, you know, there's a number of reasons why it's so challenging. There's so much competing for our attention, whether it's the unlimited channels on TV, the Netflix, the Hulu, where you can get anything you want anytime, or just, you know, as you're walking about, you know, there are billboards, there's radio, there's so many different things clamoring for our attention, and our attention spans have gotten shorter.
Yeah, we're bombarded from every direction.
Yeah, there's some article that basically said we've got the attention span of a goldfish, less than a goldfish at this point.
A gnat?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Who has more, a gnat or a goldfish?
I'm not sure. This one was a goldfish. I haven't studied the gnat background on attention span yet. But, you know, we're distracted by so many things. So much is competing for our attention. So, you know, as an advertiser, trying to break through that noise, that clutter, and connect with a consumer to showcase what you're trying to do is really, it's hard. At the same time, it's kind of exciting because as technology has advanced, there's so many different ways to approach it and find the right consumer at the right time with the right message. So it's becoming a very, it's evolving very, very quickly. And there's lots of sort of new opportunities to connect. But that's why it's become so challenging.
It's much more targeted, isn't it?
Yes, the advertising's become incredibly targeted, which is helpful, but it's still hard to kind of break through that noise.
Well, and sometimes you might target and miss a whole group of people, so you have to be careful with that too.
Totally, yeah, and it's you know, there's all sorts of tools now to get down to the return on investment. So in a lot of ways, it's going to make advertising a lot smarter and enjoyable for all of us because, you know, they're going to market. You know, a Coca-Cola is going to market to you very differently than they would market to me, as they would to my little sister. So it the promise of this is that it's actually going to make things more relevant to us when they put it in front of us. But we'll see if that actually holds true.
Well, yeah, it's all theory, right? How has the consumer changed? I mean, I know the technology has changed, but that's affected how the consumer reacts as well.
I think it's so much is we're on the go so much now, and you know we're tethered to our mobile phones. So that's probably the way the consumer has changed the most. In that, because of technology's advances, we've become really spoiled. It's wonderful, but we expect everything
immediately.
Immediately, we want it where we want it, when we want it, how we want it, and we don't really have tolerance for anything that doesn't kind of fit all that criteria.
You don't want to be on the other end of not meeting the demands.
Right.
I don't want to be the one dealing with the customer service problems with that.
Well, it's so funny to see, you know, I was just at the airport and seeing how frustrated people are at a 10 to 15 minute delay. I mean, it's as if the world is ending and it's like, hey, you're getting in this magical machine that's going to fly you across the country.
Plus,
like,
they pretty... make it up in the air. Calm
totally.
Down.
Totally. Totally.
Now, if it's 2 hours behind, then that might make a little, you know, some stress there.
Totally.
So, okay. Well, technology keeps changing pretty quickly. And, you know, the underlying technology maybe is quite the same, but, you know, the actual concepts. But the applications of it and how it's changing society is changing pretty quickly. How do you stay ahead of those trends?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, what we do at Venture Fuel is really stay ahead of those trends. That's our job. That's what we feel our job is to do.
How do you do that? Because that's hard for people to do because, you know, not everybody sees them or they don't know how to react to them.
Yeah, well, we spend a lot of time at conventions, whether it's South by Southwest, the Consumer Electronics Show.
We have to take a quick break and we'll be back with Business Game Changers in a moment.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever tried to make lifestyle changes but had difficulty following through? Imagine what it would be like to get up each morning with energy, clarity, and motivation to tackle the day. If you want to get past limiting barriers that are preventing you from living your best life, join holistic health and wellness coach T. Carrie Mitchell each month on The Dr. Pat Show. Or visit lifestyle120.com today and start to receive the personal attention you deserve.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A method.com and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
We are back and we're talking with Fred Schoenberg from Venture Fuel, and we'll be rejoining that interview now.
We were just down at something called Collision, which is a new sort of version of those that has lots of startups at it. We went to one called the Launch Festival in San Francisco. There was a tech day in New York. So we try to go anywhere where new technology is being premiered. Startups are out there. We also then work fairly closely with the venture capital community, as well as incubators and accelerators, both on college campuses and out on the real world. So we're tapped into this ecosystem. You know, we've got our eyes and ears open.
Well, you like to work with new technology platforms and use that, integrate that into your media. How are you doing this? Give us some examples.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we go out. I mean, what our business model is to find these new, different, interesting technologies and ways to connect with consumers. Our underlying vision is that it has to be authentic. It has to be something real and interesting that consumers will like. And once we do that, then we kind of think about, okay, what brands could work? And there's a number of different startups that we represent, but I'll give you some of the more fun ones. There's a company called CitrusMark. And what they've done is they've actually created a patented laser that burns a very small layer off of oranges, limes, and lemons.
Yeah.
And actually turns your lemon wedge into a logo. So if you went to a bar, you could, you know, your vodka soda that came with a lime in it could say, tune into this show tonight, or take your Lyft home instead of drunk driving.
Oh, how cool would that be?
Yeah, so it's you know, super niche. There's only certain brands that would work for, but it's very clever. It's something different. That's on one end of the spectrum.
Especially like types of drinks. You know, like if you have a type of vodka or you have a type of where lemon or limes actually go in those things.
Exactly. So, and you know, if you think about it, you run a marathon, you get, you know, orange wedges at the end.
Yeah.
We could put the Nike logo on all those. So there's ways
that's
to kind
huge.
Of play. Yeah, so that's sort of a fun one.
Well, the thing is that with those kinds of things, it's like guerrilla marketing. You get everybody talking about it. Hey, did you see the Nike logo on the orange wedge?
You got it. And then they start to, you know, post it onto Facebook and Snapchat and everywhere else. So you get a lot of amplification out of it.
Well, what else have you? This is cool. What else?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I mean, I could take up your whole slot here.
Well, take up a little time because this is interesting.
you got it. On the sort of farther end of the spectrum, we have a company named Alfonso. And what they're able to do is through a variety of different sources, they know exactly what you're watching on television and can then retarget you. So this is a much tech heavier one. But the idea is, if they know you watched an Indiana Jones movie last night on TNT, they know that you're probably likely to watch the new Mr. Robot show on USA Network. And so this is where, you know, it gets back to our original comment about like better targeting and thinking how to reach people.
Well,
so
in some ways that's helpful for you. Like in Netflix, they'll show these are the types of shows that you've already watched. Or if you rent from Redbox, they try to do that too, so that you can see other ones that are like the stuff that you like. So in that way, it's helpful. As long as they're using it in a positive way and they're using it to try to help you, then it really would work.
Completely. And, you know, I think I'll give you one more example just to show the range. We were working with a company called Virtual View Productions that is actually shooting a TV show in virtual reality. So it's a long form content that you could watch with all the different virtual reality headsets that are coming out. And it stars Lance Reddick, who is in the show Bosch and The Wire. And it's sort of a next wave of entertainment that's coming out.
So it's like the holodeck in Star Trek, and then you're part of it just watching them.
You got it.
But you feel like is it going to feel like maybe you're at a play? Or is it going to feel like you're sitting on the plane when they're sitting on the plane?
It's a little bit of both. And it's still, you know, some of this is, you know, they're actually
figuring
just getting
it out.
Right. Exactly. They're just starting to shoot and finalizing the script and things like that. But it's going to have a little bit of both elements where it feels like you're out of play, but also you're part of the action. And there's ways that it takes place in London. And you can actually walk through when the show's not happening. Walk through the world. So you can walk down the streets
where
the show takes place. so neat. So we work with them to bring brands into that experience. So, you know, when the car goes by, it's a BMW, or the drink that the main character is going to have will be a Grey Goose. Or,
and people will probably notice
Pepsi.
That a lot more because you're going to be paying attention to all the details. So the advertising in that space is going to be that much more powerful, at least initially, until it becomes incorporated more into society and then you stop noticing things. But I always thought that virtual reality sports will become a reality. So if you want to go play tennis, you could go play tennis against the machine, but the machine will be a virtual reality experience. And so you're actually playing a game with different level. You know, you're actually in there doing a sport against a competitor, and you feel like you're playing the game, but it's, you know, it's not. It's a game.
Totally. It's coming. And I mean, that is, you know, you can think of the applications for that from, you know, if you stay with the tennis example, like for training. You know, you don't have to find a partner. If it's raining out, you can still play. So there's a lot of cool things. And of course, you know, it's so immersive that, I mean, there's some amazing ones out there already where, you know, you're on a roller coaster or you're scuba diving and a shark comes at you and, you know, people scream. I mean, it feels that
it's
real.
So real. Well, you know, I had somebody that came on last year that talked about hyper-realistic holograms, and they actually train medical students and even more advanced people on how to do heart surgery and different things. And then when you couple it with gloves or something where you feel it too.
Yeah.
When you're cutting through, like you can cut through the first part of the skin and then the cartilage is harder and it just feels like you're, you know, cutting through it.
There's so many neat things that are happening there where they can also, you know, they can put scent into the room and, you know, there's to really make it feel like there was a gentleman I saw speaking that is trying to figure out how to take seaweed and make it taste like chocolate ice cream through virtual reality.
Oh, so play with you mentally?
Yeah, so it's...
I don't know if I like that one, but that'll be next, I suppose.
I will say one of the challenging parts of our job is we start to see things. We go, I don't know if that's a good thing, you know?
Well, I suppose if you're eating vegetables and you're making it feel like it's chocolate, you know, ice cream, that could be really positive. Here, you know, your little kids can now get their vegetables.
Well, I think his comment was that, you know, no mom will ever say, like, you have to eat your broccoli again because it will taste like ice cream.
The problem is the understanding of how to manipulate your brain like that we see the next evolution of some of those things, and that's where it gets scary.
Yes, you nailed it.
Right? I don't know about that. But they, you know, they have stuff where you can tap into your head and into your eyes. Like if you have a video, it's like you're seeing it firsthand. So like if you have a video on Mars, it's like you're on Mars because you see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, there's definitely there will be some ethical considerations coming pretty fast here on how this stuff is utilized. Some of it can be creepy.
Well, okay, so let's get back in the marketing. Do you have any other cool examples? Like, see, the problem, you got me sidetracked with cool things. And we got to get back on cool other marketing ideas.
All right. Well, I'll give you one that's a little more wholesome. So we are partnering with a company that will be launching later on in the summer. And what they're going to do is it's basically the Museum of Ice Cream. And it is going to be Andy Warhol meets Willy Wonka. And essentially it'll be a just very beautiful, you know, curated museum type feel, but the subject matter is all ice cream.
Interesting. And then you can just eat ice cream all over the place or something?
Well, you walk through it, and then at the end, of course, there'll be a beautiful ice cream, artisanal, very high-end, gorgeous ice cream that you can then sample at the end.
How does the marketing play into that? Since I'm so caught up in the artistry of ice cream. Where does the marketing come in?
Sure. So we can do all sorts of things. We can create a flavor around a brand. If you think of, you know, I mentioned like a Netflix or a Hulu, you know, you could take a show and actually say, okay, what is the flavor of that show? How can we create something around it that then everyone goes, oh, I want to get the Seinfeld ice cream.
Oh, I see. Like they've done that with sandwiches and stuff.
Sure, exactly. And it's, you know, of course, on the cup or the cone or wherever we would do it, it would say, and this is all hypothetical because it hasn't happened yet, but it would say what channel it was on, when to tune in. We could do all sorts of, think of like a MasterCard or somebody like that where they can card members could get in faster or have a private line where you could take Beats by Dre headphone company and actually create the sounds of ice cream and really do something very immersive, showcasing how good their sound quality is and getting people to sample those headphones in a fun, active environment.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, really creative ideas. Well, you have the who's who of Fortune 500 companies that you work with. How do you get them, how do you sell to, how do you get them to understand what, you know, some of these different ideas and come on board with you?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. And that's, you know, why the business exists is your first question about how do you find these startups? It takes so much time. You know, we're at all these conventions and we vet all the startups. So we really take a hard look. Do they have scale? Do they have the targeting that we talked about? Do they have metrics to prove that it works? There's a whole bunch of things that advertisers need in order to partner with somebody. So we go through that whole process. That's what myself and my team does. And then once we have these sort of cool ones that I've been talking about, our background is in advertising. So, you know, I've been doing this for far too long. So I know all the people at Coke and Pepsi and 20th Century Fox and American Express and kind of on down the list. And, you know, we'll just reach out to them and say, hey, this is something that's really unique. It hasn't been done before. It's vetted. It's real. We know it works. We know that it has the scale that you would need. And, you know, are you interested in learning more about it? You know, kind of the secret sauce is we've got a couple different, you know, startups that we're working with. So it's always fun for the advertiser to meet with us because, you know, we're not selling the same thing over and over again. It's always interesting, new, potentially game changing. And we also know that the Museum of Ice Cream isn't right for every brand. You know,
well, of course.
It's right for a handful.
Financial services might not be.
You know what? It might not be. And of course, you know, right as you and I both say that, somebody will call me and be like, hey.
Well, but you never know. It could be, you know, it could be for somebody if you are trying to come up with a, now that I said that, if you're trying to come up with a secure thing for your child for long term for whatever, because it's a family oriented place, it sure might be, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been surprised often where, you know, one brand goes, I really want to do that. I go, really? I don't see how it fits. So it's not a perfect science. What's fun and why we're able to work with so many of the blue chip advertisers is they can come to us and say, this is my objective. This is the goal I have for this upcoming product launch or, you know, whatever they're trying to accomplish. They can come to us and say, this is what we're trying to do. Do you have anything that you think might be interesting to them? So what's great is we're almost like an extension of an advertiser or an agency because, you know, we've got this sort of access to really interesting companies that usually they've never heard of. So we can help them do something really cool, unique, and innovative that they already know is vetted and is real. So it saves the agency, it saves the advertiser just a tremendous amount of time and gives them sort of one place to go, one-stop shop. For some cool ideas and activations. And
you're almost like a guerrilla marketing firm for the high end, you know, the high tech edgy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly that's a piece of it. And, you know, we always see it as, you know, the reason I named the company Venture Fuel is I really believe that a lot of these early stage companies, we can help fuel their ventures with advertising dollars because brands want to do cool, interesting things.
Oh, that's such a win-win. That's excellent.
That's the goal is, you know, instead of going out and raising money and giving away all your ownership, there's an opportunity if you're the right type of company that we can, you know, help you get not only at, you know, revenue, but also there's some cachet. If you're working with American Express, you know, that looks pretty good when you go to raise money. And we can also prove out their business model. If they're advertising focused, that's where they're making all their money. It's a lot more affordable and faster to hire us than to hire your own ad sales team, which can take, you know, a year to get off the ground and cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So.
Well, I like the, cause guerrilla marketing is really, and I don't know if you think of yourself this way, but ways to really get out there in different ways and create the buzz around what you're doing. And not, because the traditional marketing just doesn't, like you said, it doesn't work to the same level. I mean, you might have to do it in some cases, but it just doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Some traditional media, there are a lot of ways to make it work, and I don't want to disparage that overall, because I think, TV actually still moves the number, like the needle. There, you run a Cheerios ad on Saturday morning, it's still sales increase on Cheerios. So it's not that they don't work, or radio or print or any of these things that are being challenged right now. It's that they have to work a little differently than they used to. And there's so much out there competing. There's so many different channels that it's cost prohibitive to be on every single channel on Saturday morning. So they have to get more specific with how they use traditional media. And then the more creative new wave, guerrilla, if you will, opportunities can really be a great addition. They work so well together because...
Yeah, you have to take it from all different angles, right? I mean, you can't just do one method anymore is the point.
100%. And, that's what the agencies and advertisers do really well, is understand exactly who their consumer is and where they are. And, once you know that, that's where we say, okay, how can we creatively do something to reach that particular person in an unexpected way, in a way that they would appreciate, sort of delight them rather than force them to watch an ad, really, deliver them a message that makes them excited about the brand or whatever the product is.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, what media do you think gives you the best ROI these days, now that we're talking about that? And what one should you stay away from because it just, they're awesome?
That is an amazing.
And don't say my show.
I love it. I love it. Your show would have been a very smart answer. you know what? I think I'm going to try not to dodge the question, but it really depends on which, what type of company you are. Because, newspapers are, everyone's like, the circulation is dropping. Who reads newspapers anymore? But for the right brands, it still delivers a tremendous value. Whereas, you would think mobile advertising, it's so new and fresh. People are still figuring out, how to serve an ad that someone actually wants on their phone. So I think each of them has pluses and minuses and challenges. If I were marketing my company, and had to, obviously limited budgets, where would I go? I would just look at who my ideal consumer is and try to create something that's authentic, that they will really be able to connect with. And, in my case, that might be actually doing a conference, which is not traditionally a very good ROI because it costs a lot to produce it and not a lot of people see it.
But yours is different, because if you're not going after mass market, you're going after a smaller subset, and people need to think about you. It's hard. It's very difficult for you to do a 30-second commercial versus a longer period where they start to really understand what you're doing, right?
Right. You're totally right. And like, if we took a Coca-Cola, them throwing a conference would make no sense.
Exactly.
But with those guys, with the bigger mass advertisers, I think what's fun is they have so many options now. So before, there were four networks and you just threw your 30-second spot on there and things happened. In a lot of ways, it was nice because it was easy.
Oh, yeah, that would have been nicer.
it's so complicated now, but that's why I have a job. So I actually,
exactly. You can't complain much.
Yeah, but I think now they have the opportunity to really play and mix and match. So it's still TV for, let's say the Budweisers of the world. They still should buy the Super Bowl spot, but they can also come up with really interesting digital platforms and immersive things, or Coca-Cola, or any of these sort of monster brands.
Gosh, they could get into the virtual reality stuff big time, some of those brands.
Yeah, they are. And so that's, virtual reality is a great sort of segue to this, is that doesn't yet have scale. They can do so many cool things that are amazing, but who's going to see it?
Nobody yet.
Yeah, so that's the trade-off. And I think the scale is going to come in a big way with virtual reality.
Well, and it'll probably be in some of those parks, theme parks and stuff too.
there's actually a theme park that's just virtual reality. Yeah. That's all that's there that's opening up in Utah, actually.
Oh, how cool is that?
It'll be kind of fun. It'll definitely be there, but I mean, all the devices that have been coming out are selling out right away. So I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's something by like the end of this year, it's like, you know, one in every 10 people in the U.S. will have a virtual reality device.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. And then they'll evolve very quickly. And the one you bought this year won't be good until, well, you know what I mean? Like anything else.
And then the virtual reality people will have to use us to advertise their new products. So it all works together.
Exactly. Okay, this is what everybody wants to know, is if you have a really tight budget, which almost everyone who's doing a startup company has, what do you suggest they should do? I mean, it's a difference with when you're talking to a Fortune 500 advertiser. They have some tight budgets too. But when you're a startup, you're really scrappy. What can they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like I always laugh. I have a very big, well-known advertiser that always cries to me about how small their budgets are.
And, yeah, they feel like they don't have anything either.
They feel like their hands are tied, and it's absolutely hilarious because their budget's, you know, 5,000 times what everyone else's is. But
it's all perspective.
You're right. It's all relative. So I think, you know, with a small startup and with the large company too, it's a little bit of a stage process. So the first part is you really have to understand who your ideal consumer is. With a startup, you don't have fancy metrics and research and all the things that, you know, these giant companies have access to, but you kind of know, right? You know who's going to buy your potential product, or who you want to buy your product. And then start to really, you know, take a day, walk in their shoes, think about what websites are they on? Where are they going throughout their day? Are there certain shows they're watching? Is it, you know, they listen to different radio programs, really kind of honing in on where they go, what they're interested in, what their passions are. If you can tap into what their passions are, then you've got something really special. And it goes back to my word before about authenticity. If you can give them something that's authentic, it can be an experience. It doesn't have to be financial, but why they need to pay attention to your brand. So if it was your radio show, you know, give them a glimpse into how you're going to help their life, or why your listeners are important to that advertiser.
Well, basically, you should really understand who you're trying to sell to.
Absolutely. That's it. That's,
so you're not wasting your money on people who don't care.
Exactly. And I would strongly recommend, it's very tempting to be like, oh, I can buy this online campaign really cheap. Look at how much I get. But it's a message to everybody, or a message to who knows who. And it's actually worth it to spend, you know, more on reaching the right person than it is just sort of, you know, I call it throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping like some will stick. It's just it's a wasteful way to do it, rather than really focusing on that one piece and getting it right. It's not the easy answer, but it's the best long-term return on your investment.
It's reality. Well, yeah. You have so much interesting things for people. How can they learn more about your company and what you do?
Absolutely. They can go to venturefuel.net. That is our website. Also, if they follow us on Twitter, it's @VF. So like for Venture Fuel, VF Insights. And that's a pretty fun place. We tend to post about the startups that we've come across that we think are really interesting. So I would recommend those two places. And anyone can email me if they want to also. It's fred@venturefuel.net. And we'll be launching some cool things in the next month or so, where we're going to do some, you know, really short form videos on the startups, that are coming out. So it's a good place for advertisers or just general people that want to stay up to speed on what's next.
And your site gives a lot of examples too on things that people can do to advertise in unique and creative ways.
That's the hope. We want to make it friendly for people and give them some thought starters, and then you know, obviously everything is specific for each person. So we're always happy to take in an email and see how we can help.
Excellent. Thank you, Fred. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Okay, take care.
Such cool ideas he has. Very fun conversation. I love talking about that stuff. So if you want to hear more about their company and get, they have a newsletter where you can get ideas and things on an ongoing basis and hear about what they're doing. And so you can go to their website. You can find it on my website at sarahwestall.com, all their contact information, and figure out how to get hold of them or get signed up for their newsletter. So for now, I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific time and learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.